This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Wednesday, the 4th of October. I'm Daniel Roberts. Welcome to The Informer. Tonight, we talk to Jason Toison-McSheen from the Equality Project about their launch of their Better Together conference for January 2018. We also talk to a guy who, along with the help of the Victorian government, is aiming to put a stop to homophobia through gaming. First up, though, we address the recent tragedy in Las Vegas. On the 1st of October, a lone gunman shot and killed 59 people and injured over 500 others. This is now the worst mass shooting in modern history for the United States. Just over a year on from the tragedy at Pulse nightclub in Orlando that saw 49 people killed, those of us in Australia are left wondering if gun law reform will ever be a possibility for one of our closest allies. Earlier today, I spoke to John Grauwiller from Gays Against Guns in New York. I started off by asking him how Gays Against Guns began and what kind of work they do to educate in the name of gun law reform.
Gays Against Guns formed a response to the Pulse massacre in Orlando, June 12, 2016. A week after that, got together, like 5 days after that, got together and at the LGBTQ Center here in New York, because we wanted to do something. We were outraged, we were heartbroken. It was 5 months, and you know, what typically is a joyous month, was sort of then and will remain definitely heartbreaking. And so we decided to come together and think about a way to address the gun violence issue that had been going on for many, many years in this country, decades, pardon me. But ways to recognizing that gun violence had affected our community in a profound way, like other things that affected our community in a profound way, and that there was no opportunity for us to be complacent about this issue any longer, and that we needed to, insert ourselves and join the larger gun violence prevention movement. Many of the members that showed up that night were trial members, and people showed up had a background in activism, and others didn't. We booked a room for 70 people, capacity 70 people, and 120 showed up, and it was actually 2 weeks before Pride. And we decided that we were going to march in Pride, that we would just let the community know that there was now an opportunity for everyone within the large community, LGBTQI community, to come out, if you will, and to address the gun violence right there. So that is sort of how it formed, really, and some sort of pieces to kind of the forming of it. Like I said, many of the members have a background of activism. Some of us were birthed by ACTA, others by marriage equality or the women's movement or Black Lives Matter. And some of us many of us have personal intimate connections to gun violence, and others just want the senseless death to end. So that's sort of like his membership, and that's like how it came together.
John, the incident in Las Vegas is now referred to as the worst mass shooting in U.S. modern history. What sort of groundwork are Gays Against Guns and other groups doing in the immediate aftermath?
Well, it's been a lot, in short. We had a vigil at a march. Well, not a vigil, pardon me. Some of us were, holding candles and space for the lives lost. And then before we left, we had a rally. We marched from Union Square to Times Square. So we felt the need to honor lives lost with action. And others, their vigil had been held coast to coast. In terms of the Brady campaign, they put out releases, they statements about gun violence and having to sort of move forward with stricter gun regulation laws. Tonight, Moms Demand Action, they're hosting a panel discussion about gun violence, also the Second Amendment and other issues relating to gun legislation and policy. There's been a lot of people sort of, by people I mean leaders within the GDP movement on national calls, thinking about what's next. Currently there are two bills that will be voted on. One is the sponsored bill that will allow everyday gun owners to buy silencers. I mean, imagine if a shooter had a silencer, what that would be, the sort of the damage, sort of the death, kind of look like. Make people ran because they had heard gunfire, but if he had silencer, we can infer or suspect that many more people have been dead or killed, pardon me. There's also another issue that is currently a bill that NRA is trying to push through, and that is a reciprocity bill, which basically states that it's a federally mandated bill that requires states to honor their gun permit license of other states. So these two bills are very pressing concerns for the GVP movement, gun violence prevention movement. And what will come of them? I think that there's going to be a lot of pushback to those bills. The sponsor bill looked like it was going to pass. The reciprocity, there were 202 co-sponsors in the House. That looked, pretty promising, but it's true about the Senate. There were some Democrats who were, kind of waffling, and so that was very concerning for us. I think a lot of information is being shared right now. We're seeing, responses to, sort of these segments of prayers, and now people are responding to that, we don't need your prayer. Yes, prayer is that, but also do something. So I think there's a real shift that's happening right now where people are waking up, recognizing that this is in fact an issue, that a year and 4 months after Orlando, here we are again, and the numbers have increased exponentially.
Yeah, John, just on that, talking about Orlando, it has been over a year now. Are we seeing more chance of these gun laws being reformed now since Orlando and since just a few days ago? Or is the issue as sort of stagnant as it has been?
I do have hope. People want to get involved, I feel like people are tragedy sort of brings people together, and the fact that guns massacres are, the distance between massacres keeps diminishing, keeps shrinking, is really rocking the sense of safety and sort of and stability in this country. So I am hopeful. You know, we're trying to push the needle the other way, and I think that that's happening. But the reality is that too is that the current president is, you know, in bed with the NRA, and the NRA is a very powerful lobbying group. It's seen as a result of yesterday's tragedy that people are fed up, and this is what we need. We need people to be more angry, to be more fed up. There's a lot of we're fed up with a lot right now here in the States. Gun violence, though, is unique to our country. The problem of gun violence, and I know that people are angry, and that they're worn thin, both, you know, psychically, emotionally, and drained by this.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427JOY949, email onair@joy.org.au, or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
That was John Growlinger from Gays Against Guns in New York City. Tonight in Melbourne, the Equality Project will launch their program for the 2018 Better Together Conference. The conference will be held in Melbourne from the 12th to the 13th of January, and their goal is to establish discussion that will lead to achieving meaningful social change and create a fairer, more equal and more just Australia. If you can't make it to the launch tonight, you're in luck, because Jason Twazen-McSheen is here from the Equality Project, and he's here to tell you all about it. Jason, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Jason, maybe you could kick things off by giving us a brief history of the conference. This is the first time it's happening, but what sort of thing has been similar that's happened before?
So in the 70s and 80s, we used to have a homosexual conference. That was in a time when it was illegal and a mental health illness, and we're all in the closet. It's pretty my time, really. And many of the organisations we have now came out of those people when it sort of disbanded in the 80s. And it's time now for us to come back together nationally and have a conversation about where we want to go and how we want to proceed forward. Because we've been struggling a little bit getting to where we need to go fast enough in recent years. Our comms isn't very good. And one thing I am glad about with the postal survey, which has been a terrible experience, but is that we are being forced to work together and collaborate. And I'm really proud of how we, as a bunch of communities, have actually, you know, got on the same page and tried to get through this process as one person, if you like. And I think that's a taste of how we might want to proceed going forward.
So when you say different communities, you're talking about the different communities within the LGBTIQ.
Absolutely. I don't think we're one community. I think we're a bunch of whole separate different communities. And in fact, the very first session at the conference on January 12 will be a United Nations session of all of our key leaders and communities who are going to come. So, you know, whether you're lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, or in the plus or queer group of people, or whether you're an Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, or someone who's part of the deaf community, or a person with disability, you're welcome. And this is going to be a very intersectional conference. The aim of the Equality Project is a world that fully affirms LGBTIQ people as full citizens. And we're going to try and do that by starting with a national biannual conference. And we've booked the Melbourne Town Hall. We have over 200 registrations already. We're confident of somewhere between 500 and 1,000 people turning up. And I think that, along with some research that's being done at the moment of the 300 or so LGBTI organisations in this country, around how they operate, who they are they funded, do they collaborate, do they want to collaborate going forward, that's going to be presented at conference in that first session. And we'll start that conversation.
So you mentioned that sort of that United Nations idea coming together, sort of kick things off. What other exciting things are planned for next year's conference?
Well, we have wonderful speakers. We've got people like Dr. Karen Phelps and Benjamin Law coming. We have GLAAD, the Human Rights Campaign, and Stonewall participating. We have organisations from the VAC and ACON right through to people like Rodney Croom coming and participating in the conference. We had 80 abstracts submitted, which cover everything in all of those spaces, and we've got to spend the next 6 weeks puzzle piecing it all together. to make sure that there's visibility of all the campaigns and people and programs that are happening across the country, that there are new stories being told, that education is being provided, and that people have an opportunity to form new relationships. Because I think it's really important, and there's a lot of good work happening out there that people don't even know about.
Is there a theme that you're working off, or is it just the idea of coming together?
Well, better together is what we've called it, because I think we are better together. That's the goal, obviously. But the theme is, do we want to work more strategically together going forward as a bunch of communities? And we're going to focus our four plenaries on advocacy, family, sport, and faith. And we've got people and speakers and communities involved to bring some really good stories out, see some visibility in those spaces and build some bridges. And we also want straight people to come. This is there to engage people of faith, people who are non-queer, where everything will be Ausland. In fact, tonight we have it's interpreted again, our website as Ausland Interpretation. It's really important about understanding, and this is the exciting bit about it and the unknown part, is that when you put all those spaces together, which we're all different but we're all the same, and if we actually work together strategically, maybe we get where we need to go just a little bit faster.
And how immersive will the conference be?
Oh, completely. So there'll be everything from arts to music and lots of symposiums and panels and young people. We have an early, you know, a price for young people of $49 for the whole conference, just so they can come. We have a concession price of $99 and our early bird price is $149. And it's 2 days of wonderful opportunity to network and learn and be inspired. And it'll be post this marriage postal vote. We'll have had Christmas, New Year, and we can come together and go, okay, what's next? And I'm really excited about that because having met a big chunk of the people in our spaces and know a lot of them personally, there are a lot of great, wonderful people who don't even know each other.
It's interesting coming off the... Well, it will be coming off the back of the marriage survey because, like you said, there hasn't really been a time that I can remember, actually, where the whole community has banded together and it has affected so many people. So hopefully something like this can sort of have that same effect or encourage that sense of community.
Absolutely. We planned this for 14 months. So there was no postal vote happening in the meantime. And I just think it's the timing is going to be very, very good for all of us to go, okay, what's next?
And Jason, what are you most excited about for the conference next year?
Seeing people I know come together and meet each other and form new relationships and friendships and perhaps work together strategically going forward. That excites me more than anything because in our spaces, lots of whinging, bit of lateral violence. If I listened to everybody who had a problem with someone else, I'd have no one to speak to. And yet I think that all of us are really good people trying our very best to get where we need to go. And I just believe we can get there faster. So, for example, the GLAAD Equality Project media training unit that we will set up, that's going to help small organizations, large organizations do their comms better. And if we do our comms better, we'll get where we need to go faster. And we have a two-day pre-conference training academy that Mercer are hosting for us, and that's going to provide 2 days for 150 people some great leadership skills, but also 1 day of that will be a media training experience with GLAAD.
Well, it's called the Better Together Conference. It's on 12th. It's planned for the 12th and the 13th of January next year. It's put on by the Equality Project, and it sounds great. Looking forward to it, Jason.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Thanks for being on.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Now, I'm no gamer. That music you're hearing now, Super Mario Brothers, is probably the last video game I ever played. My next guest, though, is, I'm sure, a pro. He's from a company called Mighty Games, and said company are collaborating with the Victorian government to battle homophobia through gaming. Matt Didden, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
G'day, how's it going?
Pretty good, Matt. Matt, this project has just been announced. How much do we know so far?
Well, it's been in the works for a little while. The Andrews government wanted to try a new approach, to try some experimental stuff in ways that we could do a bit of behaviour change around the problems of homophobia in and around Victoria. And so they had this really progressive idea of kind of opening it up to a broad range of people to see kind of like what solutions we could give. And we kind of put our heads together and we thought, you know, we could probably tackle this in a kind of game-ish way. So that's where we came into it, I suppose.
So who approached you? The Victorian government approached you guys, or you thought, oh, we have this kind of cool idea. Maybe you guys want to check this out.
Well, it was open. It was actually a kind of creative brief from the government.
Mm-hmm.
And we for a long time have been super keen on looking at this whole notion of serious games and gamification and ways that the skills that we have traditionally in entertainment can be brought to bear on problems. And, you know, this sort of design thinking in the way that we can solve problems in sort of fun and creative ways that people can enjoy, you know, maybe we can take that on a serious topic and you know, really affect some change.
What does that mean, gamification?
Well, it's been around for a little while. It's been a buzzword for like sort of 10 odd years.
Okay.
But it's kind of like, if you think about it, video games, you know, this is big medium, been around for a long time. It's the largest sort of growth entertainment sector in, you know, over the last sort of 10 years. And we've got these really interesting bunch of skills where people like to be immersed in a game, and they enjoy playing it, and they get motivated to, you know, do tasks, and they love sort of collecting things, and they have these different kind of ways of interacting that's really enjoyable. And so gamification, in one sense, takes some of those factors and allows people to kind of like, you know, it kind of like encourages you to do certain things because you're actually enjoying it and you're having a great time.
So, okay, on that, enjoying it, having a great time, how do you make battling homophobia cool and engaging?
Well, the short answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
The long answer is that we actually, our pitch is a process. We have a way of kind of building things that we think is appropriate for this kind of thing. So we've actually collected a whole bunch of people that we get in a room and we kind of figure out a solution. So we've sort of partnered with Victorian Uni, we've partnered with the Victorian AIDS Council, we have got a behavioral psychologist, and we've actually got other game developers. We get them all in a room and we have this large amount of research and a large amount of sort of domain knowledge, and we kind of go, all right, well, given we have these certain circumstances, what's a good way that we could engage people? You know, sort of the AIDS Council comes to the party and they have this large amount of like 20 years of research into homophobia around Victoria. And so, you know, for example, you know, they've got some great statistics that, you know, the largest demographic is like 13 to 17 year old males and also 60 plus year old males. So that instantly gives us like, well, that's probably the player. And so it's like, all right, well, given that, what do they like to do? What's their kind of thing? And so it's not really about directly attacking the problem. It's actually about trying to affect a behavior change that brings about kind of like a, you know, a better feeling and a more equality and kind of like a more productive way that you can kind of get people to think about problems.
And is this the first time you've done something like this, or is there something you're modeling this process off?
Well, we've actually done this before. So we've had a few projects that we kind of consulted on for different areas, like the Department of Education and sort of Vic Health and stuff. And we kind of did these workshops where we would get a whole bunch of people in, and over a couple of days, we kind of nutted out like, all right, well, there's this problem, and here's a bunch of different ways that you could solve the problem, and maybe this is an interesting solution. So we're not tackling it along the lines of like, well, you solve homophobia by having a match three or slinging a bird into a fortress or something. It's like or like shooting zombies in the face. That's not what it's about.
It's not that easy.
It's not that easy, if only it was. But it's actually about this kind of like process that we use to create things that we think is a kind of valuable addition. So,
when can we expect a release of this game, and how will it be played? What will it be played on?
Good question. Well, The project at the moment is basically starting. So since it was announced, that's kind of day one. And we have a kind of 12-month launch window. So we're looking at, by this time next year, it'll be out and in the wild. And so we're kind of talking a little bit about it now while, you know, while the sort of press releases have come out. But we want to go quiet and we want to like do it right and make it good and then like get it out into the world sort of like towards the last half of next year. What it's going to be on, not too sure. Like, that's also part of designing something specific for that audience. So if that audience exists on a mobile phone, it's great. We do it on a mobile phone. If that audience exists on pen and paper role playing or something, then we do it there. So it's definitely targeting to that market.
So it's not something that will be released through schools. It's going to be released independently through the government. Or yes. Maybe.
Yeah, no, we're specifically, like, we're not targeting schools. That's not the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a whole box of dice that we don't, that's not really part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is we want to make a really interesting product that's also just fun and engaging and entertaining. So even though it may tackle the problem, it could act, it's, there's no reason why it's not just enjoyable on its own, you know. So even though it'll be for Victorians and it's going to be tackling the problem of homophobia, you know, it could have a global release. It could be all over the world. So we're pretty keen to get it out as wide as we can.
Well, it sounds awesome. And Matt Didden's here with me from Mighty Games. And there's another piece of information you might like to know about, Matt. And we are on Yes 94.9 this week. It's not Joy 94.9, we're on Yes 94.9. And Matt, you are a child of same-sex parents.
I am.
And Matt, are you okay? Was it okay? Yeah, good.
I think I'm pretty well adjusted, you know.
And here you are making games about homophobia. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've grown up to definitely be the 40-year-old white guy who would be considered the man. So, right. Yeah. I did fine.
Good. Good to hear. Well, Matt Didden, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
No worries. Pleasure.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, your news program from an LGBTI perspective.
That's it for another episode of The Informer. A podcast of tonight's episode will be up shortly. Just go to joy.org.au/podcasts or your preferred podcast platform. I'd like to thank tonight's guests, John Growler, Jason Twizon McSheen, and Matt Didden. My name is Daniel Roberts, and you're listening to Yes 94.9. Up next are the news headlines, followed by Unicorn Youth.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.